Okay, turning your Bibles to, we're finishing up probably the study on the Holy Spirit today. I've only got a little bit left, and I want to finish it up today if we possibly can. I have not picked out the next subject. I really don't know. I've been praying about it. I've looked at two or three different things that seemed interesting, but really I haven't picked anything right now, so I don't even know what we'll study next Sunday, but we'll try to find something, and if it's in the Bible, it will be good for us, whatever it is. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 13, and we'll look at verse 6. Acts chapter 13, verse 6. This is the workings of the Spirit. This is after the resurrection of Christ, after his ascension into heaven. And now the Holy Spirit, as he said, I've left you the comforter and the teacher and the instructor and the guide in your Christian life. And this is where we are right now in the book of Acts. It's called the Acts. A lot of people like to call it Acts of the Apostles. But it's the early church. It's the spreading of God's word. And the Holy Spirit is doing things here in this early age and stage of the church that he doesn't do today. I mean, he doesn't drop people dead in the front of the church group. There has some of those things happen. Was it the work of the Holy Spirit? You know, we really don't know. In those days, God was instituting the church, and he was manifesting things to impress upon people that who he really was and how serious this business was. Now, he doesn't do that today. He does guide us. I told you the story about the $400 check. I'll tell you something that happened this week that I really, in my heart, believe is the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We've got a lady that I've been dealing with that is absolutely desperate for a car. I mean desperate for a car. She's a younger widow, and just absolutely, it was reaching a serious point. I did a lot of praying last week. All of us did that were involved in this, and for a car. And I had managed to get together $2,500 to buy her a car. Now, that's not much. If you think that's not a hard task, go out here and try to buy you a $2,500 car that is reliable and runs good. I've been trying for several weeks. Well, Friday, I came into work, and I was praying, and I said, Lord, I'm really at a desperate point. I really need a car that we can afford that is reliable. I prayed about it, and I was looking at cars. I have looked at cars until my mind is boggled. And I thought, one more website I'm going to try. I was ready to give up. I said, Lord, I really need some help. I got on this website, and the very last car that was on that website fit our need absolutely perfect for the price. So, you know, I really believe the Holy Spirit guides those things in our lives. Y'all could tell me stories, too. So it just goes to show the Holy Spirit is still active, still guiding, still directing, you know, if we have the right things in our heart. So that's just an example that happened this week with me, and I'm just really appreciated. Look at verse 6. And when they had gone through the isle of Paphos, and they found a certain sorcerer. Now, this is the Apostle Paul, and he's going around on his missionary journeys. And now here he is on this island of Paphos, and he found a certain sorcerer. Now, a sorcerer is just one of these people that consults familiar spirits or has a person that works with them in consulting what they call familiar spirits. They're actually demons who impersonate people, and they try to extract information, and these demons fool people, and that they will give certain information that is true, that is amazing, and they hook people into these things to get them on their side. And this is exactly what this sorcerer here did. By the way, the Bible totally condemns this activity. It condemns the people that do it. Make no mistake about it. They've now developed a machine. I don't know if y'all know about this. It's hard to pronounce the name of it. I'm not going to try with my Tennessee language. But anyway, this machine supposedly, if you ask, kind of like the Ouija board, you ask a question and something from the spirit world will come in and tell you verbally through this machine your answer. Stay away from that stuff. It's witchcraft is what it is. A certain sorcerer, a false prophet. Notice what the writer of Acts says. He's a sorcerer. He's a false prophet. They'll tell you things about the future. You know, at the end of every year, coming up in December, you'll have all of these people come up and give all these prophecies for the next year. What's going to happen? Well, if you want to do something interesting, go back for about 5 years and check out how much percentage of their predictions came true. You could just guess on your own and do better than they do. Don't believe that stuff. A false prophet, he was a Jew. On top of this, the Old Testament scriptures would have put him to death. I'm surprised he's still living at this time, because still they had just come out from the Old Testament law. He was a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which means son of Jesus. By the way, the name Jesus in that time was really quite prominent. It wasn't something that was very, very few people had that name. A lot of people had the name Jesus, which was with the deputy or the proconsul there of the country. He was a friend of the big government head there. Sergius Paulus, a prudent or a wise man in human terms. He's a good leader of his people, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. He heard about their preaching out there, and he called for them, and he said, he was a man that didn't have a closed mind. Once you close your mind, you stop learning. But he didn't do that, and he was one of the few proconsuls there in this time that said, hey, I want to hear what you guys are teaching. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for this so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the truth of the faith. Here, he knew what was being taught was true. And he wanted to guide them away from this deputy to keep him under his control. You know, these all of these rulers in those times, the kings through the Middle Ages, even some of our presidents have had these sorcerers to come in and to guide them, read tarot cards for them, tell them their horoscopes. And a number of our presidents went strictly by what they were told and guided by these people, which was wrong. He wants them to keep him away from the faith here. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice, the Holy Spirit fills Paul up because of this encounter, which is important. This man is a powerful government figure. And the Holy Spirit fills up. Doesn't mean he didn't have the Holy Spirit to start with. He did have. But he fills him up. He gives him more information, more power. There's times in your lives, I know everybody has this happen to them in your life, sometime when you feel overpowered by some force that gives you strength or knowledge or a witness in a time that's not normal for you. That's the Holy Spirit acting in your life if you're a Christian. Filled with the Holy Spirit, set his eyes on him. He's staring at him intently. And said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief. Paul says, you are full of lies. You're full of deception. You're full of wanting to control this man by this use of sorcery. Thou child of the devil. Notice where this stuff comes from. It comes from Satan. That's what he's doing. Again, he's out here to fool people. Witchcraft is the worship of Satan right now is the fastest growing religion in the United States and Canada right now. In Ottawa, Canada, I believe it was last week or it's this week, they're going to have their first satanic mass for all of the public to come and worship Satan in Ottawa, Canada. Thou enemy of all righteousness. That's what Satan is. He is the enemy of all truth and righteousness. Wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? This is what these sorcerers and people like that are doing. They're out there to pervert the true ways of God, to lead people away from the truth. These people work for Satan. And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. God immediately put his hand on his eyes and made him blind. And it was an example for the world to see at that time, for this deputy to understand that this power he had was not of God, and it was of evil. Verse 12, then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So there the contrast between good and evil, between Satan's people and the use of his power. Just like when Moses confronted the sorcerers, the priests of Egypt. You know, the first three miracles that Moses did through the power of God were duplicated by the priests of Egypt. I was involved in the occult for a while. And let me tell you this. There is power in that. There is truth to some of the things that they can do that are abnormal, not natural. When I realized that it was evil, and that was the time I was studying the Bible, and I ran upon those verses, and I realized that all sorcery is evil. I thought you could use the power for good. That's what I was seeking. But there is no good in it. And when I realized that, and I was convicted of that, I got away from it totally and completely and teach against it today. In fact, some of the people that I dealt with sent me death threats to try to keep me quiet about what was going on in those circles. I took Bonnie, it's the only time I ever did this, probably shouldn't have done it, but I took her to a meeting that I was asked to come and expose the occult. And there was about 300 or 400 people there. And as I spoke about the occult from Scripture and exposed its lies and what it did with people, they were passing, the people that were in that group that I had been associated with, passed me up notes up through the crowd telling me that you will not live to go home. You will not live another day because I was exposing what they were doing. But anyway, I survived it. But it just goes to show you that these things are out there. And you would be surprised, the people that were in this group, they were doctors, they were lawyers, they were professors. These weren't people out here who are homeless. I mean, these were educated people. So, again, it's sorcery. The Holy Spirit exposed it here for this deputy. And it's written down for our admonition so that we can realize at what Satan does. Turn to Acts, the 16th chapter. Acts 16. Another incident here in the early church. Look here at 16. Look at verse 5. And so were the churches established in faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone through Phalagra and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. One of you asked this question a couple of weeks ago, and I said, well, we get to this verse. Now, this is odd. Here are the missionaries. They're out promoting God's program and the church in the church age. And here they're wanting to go on a missionary journey, and the Holy Spirit stops them. So you're not going to preach it in Asia. Now, we don't know why. We don't know why this was done. But let me say this, and this is a good example in our Christian life in this day and age. There may be something we want to do, and we're proposing to do it for God or for Matthew 28. Go out and expose the word, and something happens, and you don't get to do it. Don't know why, circumstances, whatever, and it doesn't happen. And you don't get to go, and you don't know why, and you say, God, hey, wait, I had this good plan for you, and I didn't get to do it. I didn't get to exercise. I got sick, or whatever. We don't know why God stopped these missionaries from going into Asia at this time. Later on, missionaries have gone to Asia. But right now, at this point in time, the Holy Spirit stops them. You ask why, again, you know, here's the way I take things like that. If you're a Christian and you're in God's will, and you're wanting to do something, and it's contrary to His will for you, it's not what He wants you to do, then He will stop you in some way. So I like to end all of our, Bonnie and I, and our, as we pray four times a day together. Always do this. Okay, Lord, here's what we'd like to do. Here's what is in our program for your service. But in the end part of those verses that we pray, but your will be done, not mine or not ours. Let Him direct what He wants us to do, where He wants us to go, who He wants us to talk to, and what we're to say. So as long as you let the Holy Spirit guide you and take care of your destiny, then you can't go wrong. So, any questions on that? Now look, verse 7. After they were come to Malaysia, they tried to go into Bethania, but the Spirit suffered or allowed them not to go. The Holy Spirit absolutely stopped them from going on this missionary journey, and He directed them elsewhere. Again, that's God's doing, and that's what we all should seek. And this still goes on today. I've had many people come and tell me they were disappointed. I said, why? Well, disappointed God. I said, why? I said, well, because I did this, and I was doing this for God. I had a good friend of mine who got some guys together, and they opened up a restaurant. And so they called me the day before they opened the restaurant and to have a meeting with them. And we sat at one of the tables where the restaurant was going to be opened. And they said, we want you to pray with us about this restaurant. It's going to be a Christian restaurant. And we're going to meet every morning, and we're going to have prayer before we open the restaurant. And we want this thing to be a great success and just spread the word. And they went on and on and on with their great idea, and this was for God. And so they asked me to do a prayer with them. And I said, well, guys, let me ask you this question. Have you really prayed about this, that this is what God wants you to do? They invested a lot of money, a lot of time. They said, well, we prayed about it and everything, and we feel good. We feel this is what God wants us to do and everything. So we have had a few hiccups trying to get it open, but we just went ahead and going to do it anyhow. I said, okay. So I had a prayer with them, but my ending part of that prayer was, Lord, if this is your will, make it a success. If it's not, open their eyes to what they should be doing. It lasted about 3 months, and it failed. And after that, they called me again. Well, we just can't understand why God didn't make this a success. We were doing it for Him, and this thing should have gone. Oh, hey, they were hurt. Their faith was was stabbed. I'm telling you, they were down. I said, guys, I said, first of all, I said, evidently you didn't pray enough. You didn't heed some of the warnings that you were getting. And I said, you went ahead and did it. I said, you know, this is what you wanted for God, but it may not be what he wanted for you. So think about that. So it never opened again. They all dispersed and did other things. But this is the way we should not do things in trying to do things for God. Let him show us what he wants us to do for him. And then you will be so-called a success. Okay. One other verse I want to read to you in Acts 20. Turn to Acts 20, verse 22. I'm going to read verse 22 through 28. Now, let me give you the setting of this, and this is very, very important. The Apostle Paul, who had seen Christ on the road to Damascus and had been given all these kinds of instructions and had gone through and made all these missionary journeys and set up all these churches and all throughout the Roman world at that time, and had healed the sick and done miraculous works in the name of God and all of this. Now he reaches a point in his ministry to where he ignores the warning of the Holy Spirit. So I want to read about this to you. I think it's vastly important that we do not go against warnings that we are given by God. And I'm going to start at the verse 22. I'm going to read through verse 28. Now, behold, I am bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Now, what had happened is Paul traveled through the missionary journeys, the different churches that he had established and was going to. He had been getting continual warnings. Don't go to Jerusalem. God at this time was still giving out word of prophecy to the people. This is before 100 A.D. when that ceased. But he had been telling Paul, every one of the churches he went to, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. You don't need to go there. You're not supposed to go there. But here's Paul's answer to God's warning here. I am bound in the Spirit. Paul says, hey, it's in me. I'm going to go to Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there. Paul says, okay, I've been given a lot of warnings. A lot of people have been telling me a lot of things about going to Jerusalem. I shouldn't go. The Holy Spirit is telling them to tell me, don't go. But he said, I'm going to go anyhow. I don't know what's going to happen when I get there, but I'm going to go. That's what I want to do. Verse 23. Save that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that the bonds and afflictions abide me. Paul said, the Holy Spirit's telling these different people in these different cities as I go around, that Paul, if you go there, you're going to be put in prison. You're going to be put in, bound up. You're going to be arrested by the Romans. But none of these things move me. Now, that's being what you call hard-headed, you know. All of us have been at times called hard-headed. Your wives have said that to you, or you said that to you, or your kids have told you, or you've told your kids you're hard-headed. That's a term that goes way back to Paul. Paul is hard-headed. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul says, I'm going there. I'm going to witness for Christ. I have this testimony, and I'm going to give it. Been given the warnings, but I'm going to go anyhow. And now, behold, I know that you all here among whom I have gone preaching and teaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Paul said, I know, and I do believe these warnings I'm getting, and that I will not be free to do missionary work anymore. So he's really telling them his goodbye. He says, I understand that, but I'm going to do it anyhow. So I'm telling you goodbye. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. He said, before I leave you, I know I won't get to see you again, but I want to make a confession to you that I have never done or told you or in any way tried to take anything from you that I didn't deserve. I've not tried to fool you. I've not tried to gain any money from you. That was never been my object. So I want you to know, this last time I get to talk to you, I'm telling you the honest truth of my heart. I've never done any of this to gain any kind of favor from you. Not many preachers could say that today. You know it? Verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. If you don't have that verse marked in your Bible, I mark mine. This verse is marked in my Bible. And I'm going to read it again because it is so vastly an important verse. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Let me say why I say this verse is so important today. A large majority of the pastors and teachers in churches today are not teaching the whole counsel of God. They are teaching only a certain narrow band of things that they're very familiar with or that they've been taught in seminary that they like. But they are not teaching the whole counsel of God. What is the whole counsel of God? The whole counsel of God is Genesis through Revelation. I've had many preachers tell me, I don't teach Revelation. Can't understand it. I don't teach the book of Hebrews. Man, you're talking about a confusing book. Listen, this is part of the whole counsel of God. And that's what my reply is always this. Paul said you better be teaching the whole counsel of God. You cannot understand God's plan for mankind unless you are taught and understand and study the whole counsel of God. This is why people get confused. They go off on false doctrines. They join these cults because they have not studied and don't understand the whole counsel of God. That verse is absolutely one of the most critical verses in the entire Bible. Verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers. And he's talking to the people there, the bishops as they call them. You're the overseers. You're the leaders. You're the teachers. You better be teaching the whole counsel of God. The Holy Spirit has given you this position so that you can guide the people. It's your responsibility. Overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So the Holy Spirit was there setting up the people, the leaders, and he warns them that, you're to teach the whole counsel of God, not just part of it. I know a man who spent 30-something years of his life on water baptism. He became a Christian. He lives here in Tennessee. I think he's dead now. He lives here in Tennessee. And after he became a Christian, he got the idea, I'm going to start studying these different conflicts among Christian churches. Well, I did that too, except I didn't spend 30 years doing it. But I did study all the conflicts. Why does one church teach this and another church teach something different about the same thing that comes out of one Bible? That confused me. I understand why it's done now. But anyway, this man spent 30-something years of his life studying water baptism. That's all he studied. Nothing else of the whole counsel of God. And then he wrote a book. I have a copy of it. And he got it wrong. After 30-something years of studying one thing, he never understood any of the deeper things of God's Word. He died, and all he had ever done is put his whole Christian life into studying water baptism. And like I say, he wrote a pamphlet, and he still got it wrong. That's what Christians are not supposed to do. You're supposed to study the whole counsel of God so you understand God's program. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the many blessings that you give all of us. Thank you for these words here from the Apostle Paul to study and teach and learn the whole counsel of God so that, Lord, we're not fooled by anybody out here teaching things that are not true. Continue to lead, guide, and direct all of us, Lord. Thank you for the many blessings that you have given us. And I pray for each and every person. Have a great week. And call me if you need me. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen. Y'all call me if you need me.